3 years ago, Russia invaded Ukraine in Europe's first interstate war since World War II. The Western world all got behind Ukraine and they said whatever it takes to defend Ukraine. As long as it takes has now been replaced by Ukraine actually ceding territory to Russia. A recent conversation between Trump and Putin, Trump agreed that Ukraine should cede territory to Russia. Trump's defense secretary said at NATO HQ that Ukraine is no longer NATO's problem, but it is part of Europe's problem. Here to look at the Ukraine war on its third anniversary is our founder, Adnan Khan. Before we meet Adnan, I'd like to remind everyone that you can find us on all major social media platforms where you can like and subscribe to our content. How's it going, Adnan? It's 3 years on. Did you think that this war would last this long?
Well, Yusuf, good to be here again. Yes, 3 years seems like a long time. I remember the early days when Russia invaded. The expectation was the war would be over pretty quickly, but here we are, 3 years down the line. And as you've mentioned in your intro, things are not sounding very good from America to Ukraine regarding the way forward.
How would you describe the battlefield currently in Ukraine?
So the battlefield reality, Yusuf, really has been the same for at least the last 2 years, which is really the first year Ukraine was on top. Russia started the war really, really badly. But what Russia did is it dug in, it moved its troops around, it brought in additional troops. And we've now gone to a scenario where for the last 2 years, the battlefronts have more or less been frozen with incremental changes. So in the east of Ukraine, is occupied by Russia, going all the way down to Crimea. And that's really been the front line for at least 2 years now. And that's why the feelers you're getting really from America and Europe is we can't really turn this around now. Ukraine has thrown what it can. And that's why there's more openness now to bring this to a close. And I'm sure we're going to discuss this. What America's calling for in terms of ending the war, it's very different to what the Ukrainians would consider ending this war. But the battlefield fronts, Yusuf, they remain more or less the same for the last 2 years, which is Russia's taken about 20% of the country, and there's very little Ukraine has achieved and it can do going forward to really alter that.
So with Ukraine actually in this position, it's in a losing position. Why is America giving up on it right at the very end? Why aren't they actually continuing their support when Ukraine actually manages to keep its own country intact?
So what you've got here, Yusuf, is America's goals and Ukraine's goals are not the same. American interests and Ukrainian interests are not the same. And as much as Biden previously and Trump now have said, we will defend Ukraine, we're going to protect their sovereignty, the reality here is their goals are not the same. American goals are very different to what Ukrainian goals are. Ukraine wants to survive. It wants to keep its country intact. The only way to do that is you have to reverse the gains Russia has made. America's priority is actually very different. For America, Russia is a competitor, and getting Russia involved in a war in order to drain it, it achieves its interests. So America was never in this from the perspective of it would provide all the resources to Ukraine in order to win the war. What America's done is we've embroiled Russia in a war. Now, that will mean there will be negotiations at some point with Russia, and that's where America will get concessions. So Pete Hegseth's speech at NATO headquarters in Brussels was very clear on this, that it's just silly for Zelensky to think that he can regain the territory he's lost. So the defense secretary of America is effectively saying, you have lost the territory that Russia has gained and there's nothing you can do. So let's call it a day on that basis. Now, at least for the last 2 years, victory was the territory Ukraine has lost. America and Europe would help them actually get it back. And the reason why America is doing this now is because for America, the Ukrainian battle is a proxy battle amongst its global interests. As far as America's concerned, it's in competition with Russia. Its main competitor is China. And that's the context it sees Ukraine in. And that's why support for Ukraine has been quite limited. And it was only going to be a certain amount of time before America said, let's call it a day on this, because we've got what we potentially can. And what that means for Ukraine is quite irrelevant to America. As far as America's concerned, they've got what they needed, which was never going to be a victory for Ukraine. And that's why for America, Ukraine was just a proxy. Ukrainians may think America was going to defend them right until the last soldier. They never were. They've done this to the Kurds before. They've done this to many other people before. And unfortunately, the Ukrainians are learning the hard way now that they are now they're the Kurds of Europe now.
Adnan, you say America. Is it really America, or is it more of a Republican Trump sort of thing? Because Trump and Pete Hegseth have done a complete U-turn compared to the Biden administration.
So what you've got here is different approaches, Yusuf. In terms of America's strategic interests, Ukraine on the edge of Europe is really one small dot in America's global interests. Now, yes, publicly, America made it priority number one, but that was in order to give it importance. That was to show Russia we're backing Ukraine. So what the Biden administration did was, because they were there when the war started, their whole approach was, we're going to support Ukraine, we're going to arm them. Russia was kicked out of international tournaments. It was cut off from the SWIFT system. Lots of sanctions were put on it. That was the context the Biden administration dealt with this. Now, even in the Biden administration, they were talking that it's been 3 years now, that how are we going to exit this? And because the elections was coming up, this was going to be the next president's problem, whoever the next president was going to be. So although it looks as though this is a complete U-turn, this is actually the direction things were going in. And if you remember last time, Yusuf, when Trump left office and he made the deal with the Taliban in Afghanistan, and then Biden came in and everybody blamed Biden for what happened. All Biden did was implement the withdrawal agreement with the Taliban. Now, it looked messy. It made America look weak. But 99% of what happened in Afghanistan was agreed by Trump. So although this time everyone's arguing this is Trump doing this, this is the general direction the Biden administration was going in. So there's different approaches, absolutely. In fact, Trump in his election campaign was, I'm going to end this in 24 hours. Why are we even in Ukraine? And that's generally what you find when any president usually comes in. They'll pick one or two issues where that's not going to be a priority anymore. When Hegseth gave his speech, what he's saying is, for America, Ukraine has fallen down the priority pecking order. Our priority now is the Far East, it's China. Therefore, the amount of money and the amount of time we're spending on Ukraine, no more. And that was always going to happen when Ukraine was first invaded. It was going to come down to this. Obviously, the image America created, we're going to stay with you to the end. But when has America stayed to the end for someone else's interests? So that's what's really going on here. America is a global empire. It has bigger priorities, which is China, which is much more powerful than Ukraine. And that's where America's focus is going now. And that is the context of the speech by Hegseth, the phone conversation between Putin and Trump. And when discussions and negotiations start, this will be the context that they will start in.
So Ukraine, they've lost Crimea, they've lost eastern Ukraine. And obviously what's on the table is these two areas and completely ceding them. Doesn't that actually put Russia in a much more powerful position compared to 3 years ago? If you actually legitimize Russia's occupation of that area. And so why would America want to allow Putin to have these extra territories?
So that is actually how it looks, absolutely. It may not look like that in 2-3 years' time. Russia, if it does win these territories, which is what it's looking like, it looks like Ukraine is going to have to cede these territories. That now means Russia has to rule over these territories. Russia has to invest in them. Russia's bombed them back to the Stone Age. So it may not have been worth it in the end. We're going to have to see how this turns out. The thing is, Yusuf, the American priority is actually China. And their strategy is they need to break the Chinese-Russian relationship. So what you're seeing now is Ukraine is being offered on a plate to Putin. This is the strategy America has now. And it has bigger problems. Actually, I hate to say this, Ukraine was merely a proxy. They may not have believed it, but for America, they were merely a proxy. And this is a stage of this battle America's in now. So you're seeing it already. They literally, Trump has already agreed that Putin can keep the territory he's already taken. Ukraine will not be joining NATO. In fact, Hegseth said at the NATO headquarters in Brussels to the NATO members, it's silly for you to even raise this. So they're offering it to Putin on a plate, which does beg the question, why on earth did you even get involved if this is what you're going to do? Because every crisis is an opportunity. Keep in mind, Yusuf, Russia has immense sanctions on them. Russia has many restrictions globally. America will now negotiate these one by one, and it will negotiate them by getting concessions on the issues that matter to America. This is the context this battle is actually taking place in. And I'm sure we're going to discuss this, that Europe doesn't even fit into the picture when it comes to America and China. So Europe has done some actions here which has hurt them from an energy perspective. But that's what America needed, is broken the relationship between Europe and Russia, is killed off the energy relationship. And now America is going to sit down with Putin and effectively offer Ukraine on a plate to them in return for some agreements when it comes to China.
So you mentioned the war sanctions, the sanctions placed on Russia, and it was meant to actually cripple Russia. It's not done that. And obviously, Russia has managed to take over these territories. Are we seeing the return of Russia as a big superpower?
Possibly. I mean, when we look at sanctions, you said there's a couple of things we need to put into perspective. Russia is a $1 trillion economy. It's the 11th largest economy in the world. So to cripple it was always a big ask. What America has done is hurt Russia. So the 30,000 sanctions on Russia, they've been cut off from the international financial system. This has hurt Russia. How is it? It hasn't crippled her. It hasn't killed her. The main thing Russia did is it replaced 40% of Russian exports, 40% of its energy were going to Europe. That all got cut off. So what Russia did is it replaced Europe with China, with India, and some of its Turkey. So its energy production hasn't actually gone down. It's actually remained static, which was the aim of sanction, was to hurt them financially. The other thing Russia's done is buy up a lot of gold. It's been using gold to make payments to countries. Because it's been cut off from the financial system, it struggled to gain access to dollars and actually to make payments. What it's also done is Russia established a shadow fleet of tankers, which is using to move oil around the world. And there's many middlemen who benefit immensely from this. So this is how they've managed to stay afloat from all these sanctions. Obviously, what America and Europe created at the beginning of this war was sanctions going to completely destroy Putin. It's going to cripple the country. And they really try to show the public that we need to get behind a sanctions program in order to hurt Russia. But the reality is sanctions have got a lot of loopholes, and there's only so far sanctions are going to go, because you're dealing with a country here that has immense resources. Many countries rely on its resources. At the beginning of the invasion, the African countries agreed a wheat agreement with Russia, because Russia is one of the largest producers of wheat. So they had to negotiate with it in the end, because to cut Russia off completely would have affected global markets. So yeah, 3 years on, Russia has survived. I mean, I'm not saying it didn't hurt. It doesn't mean Russia doesn't have internal issues. It does. However, the image that was created by the West, that's come to pass. That hasn't happened at all.
I feel like the sanctions have actually hurt Europe more than Russia, personally. Although the war is happening technically in Europe, we have seen very little from Europe. Why is that?
So Europe cut its energy ties, which is having a big impact. So Germany has cut all its ties with Russia. This was always a problem for Europe and America, that Germany is just too close from an energy perspective to Russia. So the Nord Stream was blown up, which we know now was done by the CIA. Europe reduced its energy consumption from Russia, and it completely cut its gas needs from Russia. The problem is Russian energy, the volumes it was coming into Europe, no one country can replace that. So what Europe's finding now is it's having to spend a lot more money now on energy imports coming from faraway lands. And where they had Russia before, now they've got multiple countries trying to fulfill European needs. So you're right, in many, many ways, the Europeans have actually hurt themselves. And when the Defense Secretary of America and the President are saying Russia can keep the territory it's taken, well, it seems you're right. The biggest loss is really to Europe. Europe now has lost its main energy supplier. It doesn't have alternative suppliers. And now America is saying, well, we're going to hand Ukraine over to Russia anyway. So this is a big problem.
Yeah, so we've seen the sanctions. We've seen them cutting energy, cutting off from receiving their energy from Russia. Why haven't they done more militarily, seeing as it's on their doorstep?
So militarily, Europe has really dragged its feet. And I think a lot of this goes back to when the Cold War finished. What the Europeans have been doing have been cutting back on defense. They've been reducing their stockpiles of weapons. And more of the security is actually being outsourced to America. So now you've got this war on the European continent and they're in no position. So you saw when it came to supplying fighter jets, tanks, air defense, equipment, missiles, it all turned into like a national continental-wide debate. Should we, who should do it? A simple thing like tanks, what you find was Europe, because of NATO, has lots of American tanks. So America said to Germany and Poland, you should give some stockpile of your tanks to Ukraine and we will over time restock you with them. And they just didn't want to do it. They wanted to keep the stock of tanks and fighter jets and everything. And America was like to them, you can't expect us to bring loads of tanks across the Atlantic to give to a country when you have a land border with this country. So Europe really dragged its feet. And what Trump and Hegseth are saying is enough's enough. Europe needs to take care of its own security. You can't expect us to be doing the heavy lifting on your continent. So what America's doing now is it's giving notice that we've got what we wanted out of this war. We've now got other priorities. If you want to continue with the war, you do so using your own resources, and you can't use Article 5 of NATO, that an attack on one country, that attack on the whole of NATO. So America's washing its hands of it. Enough's enough, we're out. We got bigger priorities. And Europe financially is not in the right position. Economically, it's not. Defense-wise, it's actually not. And I just don't think there is the political will anyway. They wanted America to continue doing the heavy lifting. And what the Europeans will do will chip in here and there, wherever they can. And America's now got what it wanted and it wants to move on.
If we look at the other side, so Russia, it has expanded its territory. Why did it want to do this in the first place? Why was Ukraine so important to Russia geopolitically?
So Russia has been saying again and again that since the collapse of the Soviet Union in 1991, they've watched in horror as the EU and NATO expanded all the way to Russia's borders. So they've been watching all these Eastern European countries join NATO, join the EU. So for Russia, what's been going on for the last 20 years is part of a longer-term battle going on between the West and Russia. And for them, Ukraine was the final straw. Ukraine wants to join the EU. Ukraine is talking about joining NATO. And in that context, so this is a context that's been around for, 20, 30 years since the end of the Cold War. During the Cold War, Russia's borders went all the way up to Berlin in Germany. This is really part of that battle. And you know, Ukraine joins NATO, Ukraine joins the EU. The EU borders now go right the way up to Russia. Ukraine, I think the north of Ukraine is only about 300 miles from Moscow. This is the scenario. Oh, right. So they've been saying this again and again. Every Russian, Putin be saying this again and again. You made us a promise that you won't expand NATO. You have expanded NATO. So this is Russia fighting back.
What do you see happening with Ukraine? Obviously, they've lost a lot of territory. Where do you see things going on from then?
So talks have already started between America and Russia. Putin had a 1.5-hour conversation with Putin where he offered Ukraine on a plate. Now they're going to sort out the details. What it looks as though, Yusuf, is there'll be two Ukraines. There'll be Ukraine proper, which is pro-Western, which is what Zelensky rules over. And the 20% they've lost, which is quite a strategic territory, a lot of resources there, that will become no man's territory. In fact, Russia's conditions for talks are Ukraine needs to leave all this territory and accept it's gone. But remember, Russia carried out a referendum over these territories, and they decided overwhelmingly to join Russia. So there'll be two Ukraines. I suspect what Russia will do, these will become autonomous republics. So they'll have a level of autonomy, but they are protectorates by Russia. Obviously, that raises the question that if this is how you expand, well, then why stop at Ukraine? So I suspect what will happen is there'll be a pro-Western Ukraine, which will be the larger part of Ukraine. And then you'll have the other Ukraine, which will be under some level of Russian control. I doubt it will be direct, because it's going to be too costly. So what Russia will probably do is establish these as republics, and it will try and get them legitimacy by getting Central Asian countries, maybe some African countries who are pro-Russia, to accept them as legitimate states and even engage with them. I do see some problems for Russia. These are areas, they might have a lot of resources, but you've got to invest in them. People have generally left these areas. So in many ways, Russia may have inherited a bigger problem down the road. But in the broader scheme of things, Russia had to show the West, we are prepared to go to war. This is a red line for us. Ukraine's a red line, and look at what we've done. So I think there'll be two Ukraines. Exactly what shape and form they will take, we're going to see now in the talks. It seems Zelensky has accepted that he's lost 20% of the territory. So this is what the talks are going to be about now. So these talks, Yusuf, you should be able to see now that Russia is in the position of strength. America, in a way, siding with Russia under the guise of we need to stop the deaths and call the war to an end. And Ukraine is still trying to work out how on earth did we get to this scenario where we could have sat down with Putin in the early years. They did even sit down, but Boris Johnson and Biden said, no, we got this, we back you until the end. And now Ukraine's being told that you have to cede territory. One thing that was interesting, Yusuf, we're recording this on the 14th of February. And today was also the Munich Security Conference in Germany. And there is even some talk that the Ukraine war talks are going to be between Putin and America. They didn't mention Zelensky being there. They didn't even mention Europe. So all 14th of February, and probably the next week, you will see Europeans saying, we need to be at the table. We're going to be part of the negotiation. It shows you America has other goals there. What America is doing is, let's agree on Ukraine. And if we gave you Ukraine on a plate, then let's talk about what you're going to do for us in other parts of the world. And Russia and America haven't sat down now to talk about what happened in Syria. They sat down in 2015, where Ukraine agreed to come into Syria. And Russia has just lost out what's happened recently with the rebel group from the north taking over. So these are talks obviously we'll be following. But yeah, territorially speaking, Ukraine has lost 20% of its territory.
So we're 3 years into this war. I think it'll be a good opportunity to have a look at what we said 3 years ago, our analysis back then. So I've got a few questions for you, Adnan. So some simple questions. Why did Russia invade Ukraine? I think we've touched on it slightly, but in a quick summary.
Specifically, Yusuf, we still don't know. What was the actual final decision that drove Putin and the Russian elite to do this? We still actually don't know. I think in time we find out. Broadly speaking, the battle between the East and the West has always been there. Broadly speaking, Ukraine has been a problem really from the time the Soviet Union collapsed. So we know from a geopolitical perspective why. What specific? Because there was many other tools. There are other tools Russia could have used. Why did he use war as an option? Because it's very risky. That we still don't specifically know why.
Why did Russia start off so poorly at the beginning?
So we know now, Yusuf, and this is still quite unbelievable. Russia just fought with the forces we got. If we dash to Kiev and Kiev falls, the capital, people will just give up. And they fought with the forces we got. We can quickly do that. We attack from three angles, from the north, from the east, from the south. And if Kiev falls, the capital falls, why are people going to fight? They fought that and they learned the hard way that that didn't actually happen in the end. Some of this is built upon Russian doctrine in the past, where if you send in overwhelming forces to the capital or to a symbolic town, if it falls, people will then accept we've lost. There's nothing complicated to it. That's actually what they fought. It didn't turn out like that. And Russia adjusted. What it did was it gave up trying to conquer Kiev. It saved all those troops, didn't send them to their deaths. And what that meant was is around 40,000 troops were able to go and fight elsewhere and take territory. So Russia has shown that even when it gets things wrong, it can adapt.
Following on from that then, what does this war tell us about Russian capabilities, military capabilities?
So what it tells us is Russia can win ugly. Russia is not America, where you have sophisticated weapons, you look great, you know, top gun style warfare. What Russia does is it wins wars ugly. It starts badly, it makes the adjustments. So it can overwhelm you with numbers. It will send lots of its troops to their deaths. And this is how Russia wins wars. This is how they defeated the Nazis. This is how they won in Chechnya, when originally they are technically lost. What it shows also, Yusuf, despite all the talk of modern military capabilities, really wars are about troops, they're about boring things like artillery, and they're about factories and how much you can produce. This has always been the case. It's hard to market this boring, great aspect of war, but as Stalin famously said, that wars are not won on the battlefield, they're won in the factories. And this is what this war turned into. When wars go on for a number of years, it's not about how great your weapons are, it's can you produce enough of them in quantity and get them on the battlefield. And what the Americans are saying is whatever we give Ukraine, they are not going to change this reality. Russia has converted to a war economy, and it can probably go on for a couple of years before it starts hurting their economy. Ukraine's is already hurting their economy. So what Russia has shown is despite all the progress in warfare, the old things of artillery, troops and production are still the factor that decide wars in the end.
Throughout the last 3 years, there was always talks of nuclear war. Russia may start a nuclear war. We never saw that. What was the reason for that?
So the lesson there, Yusuf, is despite countries having nuclear weapons, despite these same countries losing wars and not using the nuclear weapons, a lot of this was really propaganda. Putin made reference to nukes each time he was in a weaker position and the West were making developments. The West kept shouting nuclear weapons in order to convince their people this is a war we have to try and win. We all have to get behind the Western war effort because Putin might use nuclear weapons. Not once has there been any movement of nuclear weapons. It's really just been a propaganda tool. And really, I mean, it's quite laughable now. I mean, I think 3 or 4 times there was talk about use of nukes potentially. What it shows you was this was all part of the information war, really.
And finally, there was always rumours of World War III starting, with it being in Europe. We never saw that.
So it's still possible, Yusuf, although the Ukraine war involves all the world's powers, maybe not directly, it still involves all the world powers. So from a indirect perspective, it is a world war. You know, world wars are where all the powers get involved, like we saw in World War II. The thing is, Yusuf, for the US, if they want World War III, they want it to be in the Far East. They want it to be against a competitor that they have an issue with, whose ascent they are worried about. They don't really see World War III in Europe. It doesn't serve its agenda. If anything, it wants Russia to side with them against China. So really, Europe now is looking at this. You know, things were very different 3 years ago. 3 years ago, America was behind Europe. America's funding and arming Europe. Now America's saying you're on your own. This does mean, Yusuf, that if priority now goes to the Far East and Russia becomes stronger because of what's happening in Ukraine, well, then how do you stop the ascent of Russia? You're going to need a continental-wide war for that in the medium to long term. And that's where potentially World War III could come into the equation again.
Final question for you, Adnan, which is really the title of this podcast. Has the US abandoned Ukraine?
It is about to abandon Ukraine. Well, abandoning Ukraine, it means a particular thing. For America, it means something very different. For America, well, we were never going to support you to completely overthrow Russia. That would require American troops on the ground, American heavy weaponry. America was never invested in it like that. What America is saying is, look, we've given you lots of money. We've even given you the frozen funds of Russia in Western banks to fight. Now, this is all we're giving you. You got to try and win with that. If you can't win with what we've given you, well, then we need to call it a day. So yes, America is, for all intents and purposes, abandoning Ukraine, because America has achieved its interests. And the interests of America were very different to the interests of Ukraine and the interests of Europe. And this is a painful lesson Europeans are now learning.
Thank you for your time today, Adnan. If you want to learn more about the issues we've raised today, you can check out our website, www.thegeopolicy.com. If you want to learn about any other issues, you can find comprehensive insights, analysis, deep dives, all on our website. Thank you for listening.